Hi, and welcome to the Did You Say Mainframe podcast series. This is where we regularly interview IBM technical experts who can help you to understand important IBM mainframe hardware and software issues. I'm your host, Nick Garrod. And today, we're going to talk about the performance improvements that customers can realize in Qix Transaction Server 4.1 when they implement the workload management in Qix Plex System Manager. Our guest today is Dave Williams from the Qix System Management development team in Hursley. Hi Dave, and it's great to have you here.
Hi Nick, thanks for the invitation.
Before we begin, I'd like to mention to our listeners that there is more information available in a short demo, which I'll be giving details of at the end of this podcast. So Dave, we've heard a lot about Qix TS 4.1 and wonderful new capabilities it has delivered in the Web 2.0 event space, and how the Qix Explorer help productivity administrators and developers. This title particularly intrigues me. It looks though it offers benefit for our early adopters of new technology and the traditional workload customer alike. Would you like to elaborate a little?
Yes, we've been doing some work on Qix Plex SM's workload manager function in response to customer reports that it seemed to go awry when under throughput stress, which of course is the time when it should be performing at its optimum level.
And you found that wasn't the case?
Well, being a developer, I usually treat these reports with a little scepticism. So I created myself a sizable test case to verify that all was well. And to my horror, I discovered that the customer reports were correct. For certain types of workload, WLM was not doing the best job it could.
Certain types of workload. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, since its inception, WLM has functionally evolved to cope with the different and additional types of dynamic routing requests that become available with each successive Qix TS release. I found that for synchronous types of requests, such as the dynamic transaction routing functions or the dynamic program links, the system seemed to be behaving perfectly well. However, for an asynchronous dynamic request, like those that arise out of an exec Qix start API command, then anomalies started to appear.
Anomalies? That sounds like a bug.
Well, from my perspective, the word bug means that the program has been coded incorrectly. In this instance, WLM is actually working as designed. The problem is that it was designed to perform best when executing within the bounds of a single LPAR. Now, in the early 90s, that was a fairly common environment, but as the scope of customers' systems has expanded over the last 15 or so years, with parallel sysplexes becoming commonplace, WLM has not really kept up with the new technologies.
So what new technology did you use to address this issue?
Well, it's not quite so new now. We used the Zeos coupling facility, which we exploited using the Qix coupling facility data table function, and it proved to be highly beneficial.
So exactly what was the problem that it resolved then?
Well, Nick, I'm not looking at anyone in particular, but let's paint a picture for the less technically minded.
Please do.
Okay, let's imagine a 1950s style office with a manager sat at his desk in the front and he directs work to the staff for the office processing. So let's say this is a quiet day and he has a couple of guys working for him, Bill and George. Very reliable types. So, the company messengers arrive at the office door periodically with work requests they deliver to him, and it's his job to see that these work requests are cleared down as quickly as possible. Let's say his Christmas bonus is riding on it. So, for each item that he has to distribute to his workers in trays, he has to make a decision about who to give it to.
Surely he'll give it to his fastest worker?
He should, but what if that worker already has 100 items in his in-tray, and because you've given him so much already, he's broken his pencil?
What? And you're waiting for him to sharpen it?
Exactly. The manager must make a combination of evaluation conditions before giving the work out. Who's my fastest worker? How much work has he got currently? Is he in a state to do the job? How healthy is he? The answers to all of these questions must be factored together before he can decide who to route the work to. And on top of that, there might be other special considerations. Form XYZ123 must be completed with a red pencil, and George is the only worker who owns one. so he has to apply special rules to apply to particular word items.
So the decision is not quite as straightforward as it would have first seemed then?
No. In fact, it's very important that he makes very well-considered decisions, because otherwise the office, the work in the office would be backing up, and his bonus is going to be at risk. However, so long as he maintains that decision-making rationale where he's closely monitoring the state of his workers before passing the work out, all should be okay.
Well, this is a very vivid picture of 1950s office life. So how does this relate to WLM?
Well, it's pretty simple. The office manager is the user's routing region, which we know traditionally as the terminal owning region, or the TOR, and the workers are the target regions, which we know as the application owning regions, or ARs. Work gets queued to the routers for redirecting to the most appropriate target according to the conditions that are prevalent at the time of the decision. And in a nutshell, that's how WLM works.
Well, that sounds fine to me. Where is the problem?
Ah, well, we need to revisit the office. Bill and George are admirable workers, but on busy days they can get swamped. So when the executive management see that the office can't cope with the extra load, what do you think they'll do?
Get another worker in?
Yes. Let's assume that these executives understand their business and home in on the problem straight away. So they assign Fred to join Bill and George in the office. And in doing so, and without changing any of their in-house processes, they've increased the work capacity of the office by 50%, and the Christmas bonus is looking good again.
Good news.
Yes, good news. But Fred joined the office in September. Now we're 3 weeks away from Christmas, and the office workload's maxed out again. And it looks like the workload's going to increase further still. Uh-oh, the bonus is at risk again.
No problem. Get another worker in.
Great idea. But there's a problem. The office hasn't got room for another desk. Time to put in another executive call.
So how do they resolve it then?
Easy. They move Tom into the office next door, where he'll join the team remotely.
How will that work?
Well, the manager will have a couple of operational issues to resolve. The first thing is that it's going to take him longer to pass work to Tom, physically next door, rather than to Bill, George or Fred, who share the office with him. So he's adding an additional routing factor, which means in terms of the locality, Bill, George and Fred are preferable to Tom. But there is one more critical factor.
Yes?
Bill, George and Fred are in the manager's view. He can see how much work they have in their in-trays at any time. And when he's deciding who to give the work to, the existing content of a worker's in-tray is a very significant factor in making a routing decision.
But Tom has been put in the next office. How can he see how busy he is?
Well, he can't. So, he assigns a company messenger to report the size of Tom's workload to him every 5 minutes. So every 5 minutes, he gets updated on the volume of work that's in Tom's in-tray.
So the capacity problem is solved then?
Well, it would seem so, wouldn't it? So you tell me, when Tom has just joined the workload, what will his workload status be? This isn't a trick question.
Well, it'd be nothing, won't it?
Yes, nothing. So when the next work item comes in, the manager will compare the workloads of Bill, George and Fred, who are already busy, with that of Tom. Who's he going to choose?
Well, that latest state reported by Tom was that he had nothing to do, so I guess it goes to Tom.
Absolutely. An empty in-tray will generally outweigh all other routing factors, so the work goes to Tom. And what happens when the next work item arrives quickly? Who gets selected?
Tom again?
Yes, Tom again, because all the manager knows about him is the latest messenger's report that says he has nothing to do. So where do all the other work items go that come through the door within the next 5 minutes?
It doesn't sound like Tom's lucky day.
You could say that. So, finally, 5 minutes pass, and then a messenger appears with Tom's latest status report. What do you think he's going to say?
I imagine it would make interesting reading.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't say Merry Christmas. It's going to say, stop! I'm completely overloaded. Stop sending stuff. Probably in big, bold letters. So, where's the next work item going to go?
Anywhere but Tom?
Anywhere but Tom. For the next 5 minutes, Bill, George and Fred are going to get all the work because the manager's last message from Tom was that he was overloaded. Now, this is a bit of a shame because Tom's a fast worker and it only took him 2 minutes to clear down that backlog. So for the next 3 minutes, he was idling and doing the Times crossword because he had nothing to do. So what's Tom's next status message going to be to his manager?
Well, if he was smart, he'd say nothing. But I guess in this instance, he's going to say that he has no work.
Indeed. So now we're back in the situation where we started, where Tom's going to get all the work and Bill, George and Fred are going to be idle. And it's going to stay like that for the next 5 minutes until Tom's next scream of desperation stating that he's swamped again.
Now, just a minute. It sounds to me like you have said that the company has a workload capacity issue, and so they added another worker to alleviate it. And it has made things worse.
Yes, I'm afraid it did. And I can make things even more worse. Let's assume that our red-hot company executives have been monitoring the situation, and they say, ah, Tom's in tray is filling up every 5 minutes. We need another worker. We'll put Phil in the office with Tom. So, Phil joins Tom as another remote worker. When the next work item comes in, who's going to get it?
Phil, because he has nothing to do?
Quite likely, because the manager's last report from Tom had been that he's swamped again, and in the meantime, the work's being shared between Bill, George and Fred locally. But now we have this nightmare scenario between Tom and Phil where every 5 minutes they're going to be saying they either have nothing to do and then 5 minutes later saying they're completely maxed out. And the spin-off effect from that is that Bill, George and Fred in the local office, who are the most convenient workers for the manager to pass work to, are only going to see a fraction of the workload because it's going to be flip-flopping between Tom and Phil. So the net result of adding two remote workers to the workload is that the overall workload throughput is now even slower than when the workers comprise just of Bill, George and Fred.
That doesn't sound good. How does it translate to WLM?
Well, for office, think LPAR. When the capacity of the local LPAR has run to maximum, then the system's administrators have no choice but to run an additional application region in an adjacent LPAR. And regrettably, exactly the same performance issues arise as those that I've just described for our virtual office.
Please tell me this is a problem you've solved.
We have indeed. Instead of the manager looking at the workers' in trays to determine how much work they have, a huge billboard has been erected on the opposite side of the road, and every worker posts his work state onto that board whenever his workload crosses a predefined load boundary. So when the manager has to decide who to give work to, he now looks at that billboard to get a good comparison of all of his workers' workload, both local and remote, from that single source. And the net result of that is that his Christmas bonus is intact.
Hooray!
Yep, celebration time. And in the case of WLM, that billboard is the Zeos coupling facility. So now we're back in a regime where routers are making more appropriate routing decisions regardless of the volume of transaction throughput at the time.
I thought these changes were all about performance.
Well, indirectly they are. When we did the first graphical comparisons between these Sysplex optimized workloads and those in traditional mode, what hit us immediately was the difference in the shapes of the graphs. No workload batching was in evidence anywhere with the optimized workloads. No surging to max task and back to idle. Just a nice, smooth, even distribution of work across all of the target regions. And it was only a little later when I was admiring them that it suddenly hit me that there were fewer time periods showing for the optimized workloads. They were running 40% faster. So in resolving this deep technical functional problem, we've achieved a significant performance improvement as a very fortunate spin-off.
I suspect some customers will be concerned that we have laid another high performance function on top of an already overloaded coupling facility.
Yes, and I share your suspicion. Finding a processing algorithm which solved our problem and had the least impact on the CF was one of the central tenets of the solution. We've made numerous definitional controls available which allow users to tune the impact to their coupling facilities. But I have to say that the values that we've chosen have been based on many, many hours of testing time. and I would advise caution before changing them in a live environment.
Users of WLM have this in store for them when they upgrade to KixTS 4.1?
Yes, but there's other good WLM stuff as well. We've reworked the WLM view set structure in the GUI. Users can now perform proper generic drill down queries of workloads, routers and targets, and the target region status data reporting is hugely improved. Users are now going to be able to tell what states their target regions are in and how much they're being exploited. And this is all from new WLM runtime views. So we put lots of effort into upgrading the runtime processing and the status and utilization reporting through the GUI. There's lots of new stuff to check out.
Where do customers go from here?
The first place of reference is always the Kix Information Center. However, I did publish a tech note that condenses the Sysplex optimized workloads function into a concise document. However, you can see a real-life comparison of optimized and non-optimized workloads on YouTube, and it's entitled Performance Comparison Between KixTS V3.2 and KixTS V4.1 with WLM. Very grand title, but it really is recommended viewing if you're interested for this, because talk like this is cheap, and that video is a live, like-for-like comparison of how things compare. It's about 10 minutes long.
Thanks, Dave. That was very interesting.
Hey, no problem. Talk to anyone if they offer me a beer.
Well, that wraps up this podcast discussion. To find out more of Kix performance and various information that is out there to help you understand and implement some of the new functions, please go to the description for this podcast at www.ibm.com/software/os/systemz/podcasts/WebSphereOnZ. Join us next time as we talk about another important mainframe topic. For now, this is Nick Garrett saying, thanks for listening.